It's the Book of the Week.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Portsmouth Authors Collective Book Club. It's Thursday, it's Book Club Day, and it's our first book club in October. The leaves are starting to turn brown, maybe it's chilling out. I feel like reading a book. What better book to read than Martin Dench's new one? It sounds really good, and we spent this morning trying to work out what genre it fits in and decided it doesn't. So, I have Laurie Westron with me this morning. Morning, Laurie.
Good morning, Matt.
And good morning, Martin.
Good morning, Matt.
So, let's remind people about Martin, because he has been on before.
Yeah, Martin's been on once before. He's a very prolific writer, Martin is. And today we're going to be talking about another one of his books, but let me just introduce people to Martin before we begin. Martin Dench has been writing books for a number of years now. His first few books were rooted in dark crime and science fiction, but he's recently branched out into other genres, as well as delving into the rich culture and history of Korea. Over the course of his books, he has created a large number of empowered and inspiring female characters, all of whom have displayed great resilience and strength in the face of fierce opposition. Martin's latest book is called The Shadow Over Myeondong. Martin, why don't you tell us a little bit about it before we begin?
Okay, well, there's essentially two stories, I suppose. One is the sort of conventional narrative, if it's conventional, of these people, these supernatural creatures trying to steal an orb of immense power. It's set in Seoul. These supernatural creatures don't seem particularly supernatural to start with, but it turns out that they are. But the underlying theme is one of my favorites, which is about love is stronger than death. And at the heart of the story is a love story that spans 13 centuries.
Okay, well, that in itself sounds quite exciting. So, you know, we did talk a little bit about this whole genre thing, and I know that you sounded a little bit resistant to categorizing your books in any particular genre, but you know, you're covering a lot of territory there. You're covering kind of sci-fi fantasy, maybe a bit of history there if you're spanning 13 yes. centuries and romance, and that seems to be at the heart of the story.
I think that's why it's difficult to categorize it, because there is a whole subset of the book, a set of flashbacks that are set in the year 647 AD in the Korean kingdom of Shilla. So it's, you know, that makes it historical. I don't think there's much science fiction, but there's a lot of, there's a supernatural element in that we have these creatures from Chinese and Korean mythology.
Okay.
Who are an essential part of the story. So there you have that. But, you know, and there's the romance, you know, the fact it is a romance, that it starts with a terrible tragedy and that tears these people apart, and you have to read it really to see where that all goes.
Okay.
All right. Not going to give too much away there.
So what was your inspiration for the book, and why did you set it in Seoul?
Well, amazingly, one of my favorite films is Big Trouble in Little China, and I keep trying to write books that are like that, and they never turn out anything. Standing on the Edge of Forever was one that was supposedly inspired by that, and is nothing like it. So again, that was my starting point, and it just moved it in a different direction. I think I've watched one or two Korean TV series recently that had dealt with reincarnation, and it just seemed like such a fascinating narrative tool to put into a story, the fact that you could be reborn and meet somebody that you had some sort of relationship with in the past in your new life. It's almost like karma, you know, destiny. So I've developed a real love for, so it's part of the story is my personal love affair with Korea. I've just developed a real interest in that part of the world, China too. But there's something really fascinating about Korean culture, about their history, the way that they have developed in the modern world, the fact that, you know, they have integrated so many aspects of Western culture into their own art and are sort of slowly conquering the world, it seems. Yeah, and it's from where I'm sitting, you know, it's quite exotic too. The book is designed to be respectful. You know, one of the main characters as well is actually English, so he's sort of looking at that world through his own sort of Occidental eyes.
Fabulous. I think we're going to take a break for some music and we'll be right back. So we are here in the studio with author Martin Dench talking about his latest novel, The Shadow Over Myeongdong, which Martin has just been telling us is set in Korea over a period of about 13 centuries. So, Martin, tell us what your main themes are in the book and what drew you into the concept of reincarnation.
Well, that is a very good question. The main themes, I mean, the underlying theme is about love. The story starts with a princess who is sent to marry a Tang Chinese prince. Her name is Zhonghua. She's only sent for political reasons. Her father has something. They have something that he wants, and she has a very unhappy time. The prince doesn't want her. He treats her badly. She falls in love with the captain. That ends very badly for all of them because essentially they die. And then you move forward 13 centuries to almost the present day, it's said at the turn of the century. And she has not been allowed to die. She has become the shadow over Myeongdong, which is a part of Seoul, by the way, central Seoul. Her name is Kuimja, which actually means shadow. But in Korean, that word has other connotations. It sort of has almost a poetic longing, a sense of loss. And she has been set to protect this orb that her father sent her to steal. And it all develops in there. She comes across this chap called Cade, who she slowly realizes may just be the reincarnation of the man who died all those years ago. Reincarnation, I've watched a couple of Korean series called Hotel Del Luna and Bulgasar, where the central theme is around, really, I guess, reincarnation. And I like the idea of soulmates, the fact that you could perhaps be soulmates and spend, you know, the rest of eternity searching for, maybe even finding that person.
Oh, fascinating. What did you most enjoy about writing this story? I mean, you know, when I'm writing, there are certain parts of a story that I really enjoy, and then there are others that it's a little bit of a, you know, struggle.
Yeah, I think when I create any book, I always have these key scenes in my mind that I really look forward to writing, and there are the others that link them all. I mean, you know, they're equally enjoyable, but they're, in some ways, you feel like you're waiting to get to those bits that you really want to write. I think for me, the story that when I first started writing it, I hadn't really got this whole reincarnation and reunited love in mind, and I think the fact that came out was such a powerful thing for me. And I think that what I enjoyed the most, I enjoyed writing the whole book. I actually enjoyed the last chapter, which is set at the end of this year, the most. I won't say anything about what happens, but that was, for me, it was just one of the most joyful things I've ever written.
Oh, wow. That really is intriguing.
I don't like to give my books a happy ending, but this one has that. Not for everyone, but for the main characters, has the happiest ending imaginable, I think.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Well, I shall have to pick up a copy. Absolutely. So I know that your other books have featured strong female characters. The character in this book, would you say she's different to the others, or how would you describe that?
Yeah, I think she's different. And there are two main female characters, because when she's back in 647, her maid is actually the one who's having the relationship with her husband. And so we find this maid is actually being sort of reincarnated as a gumiho, a spirit. But she is very sensual. She is very into the physical, whereas Kurimsha, the princess, is far more reserved, as you would expect from someone who'd been a princess 13 centuries ago. And also, you know, she has suffered all this crushing loneliness of wandering around protecting this orb for all these centuries. So when she finally meets this man who she begins to think may just be this reincarnation, she's guarded and she's cautious. And then, because the only way she can be saved is by someone actually taking this curse off her, she then doesn't want really, to wish that on someone that she loves, it becomes quite challenging for her. But yeah, she's powerful, but in a very in a less assuming way. I think, you know, she is arrogant, she's disdainful and resigned in a way to a life of, or an eternity of misery.
Oh dear. Okay, and in a novel, characters go on a journey, don't they?
Yes.
So how would you describe that journey for her?
Well, I think at the first there's resignation. She's the great mother of Huagu hints to her there may be one more opportunity coming her way, because she knows everything, of course. And she's resigned. She just thinks, you know, once again she'll go out, she'll do this job, she'll protect the orb. And then when she meets this man, she slowly begins to realize that he is the reincarnation of this man that she lost. And I think that she then goes on this journey, because she, in a way, she's quite vulnerable, you know, because she wants that. She doesn't know how to get that, and the only way she can herself be freed is by allowing him to die.
Wow. Wow. So when is the book published?
It is due to be published later this month. I don't have an exact date yet. It will be published this month. I'm just doing some final revisions. The cover's designed. Everything's there, ready to go. So it will be by mid-October.
Okay, fabulous. And where can people buy it?
You can buy it everywhere. They can buy it on Amazon. They can buy it every good and bad bookseller everywhere.
There are no bad booksellers.
No, there aren't. That's true. They get everywhere. You can buy it at Walmart, wherever you wish.
Wonderful. Well, that's great. And thank you so much for coming in. It's always fascinating talking to you. And I think this is it when, I talk to an author, I get to know a little bit more about their particular passions and their particular perspective on the world. And I think that, you know, this sounds, you know, really fascinating. So.
Yes, and I'd say the next book will be the exact opposite of the feel-good factor of this one.
Oh,
same,
what did I say?
In reverse almost.
He is prolific. He is prolific. Wonderful. Well, thank you
thank
very
you.
Much, Martin.
Well, thank you.
And good luck with the new book.
Thank you.
So, welcome back to the Portsmouth Authors Collective Book Club, and I'm going to get a good old chat with Laurie, because we haven't had a chat for a while, have we?
Oh, we haven't. We haven't.
There's all sorts of things going on, though, isn't there?
There is, yeah. Now that we're in October, we are quickly approaching the Christmas season.
Oh, don't say that word.
I know.
Don't
it's coming up fast, isn't it? And I've been looking at markets coming up to Christmas, and I've got us booked into two markets.
Mm-hmm.
The first one is Saturday, the 18th of October at St. Mary's Church in Fratton. And that's a really big market, and we've been there twice before, and there's lots of things going on there with lots of different crafts and being
near Christmas, it should be quite busy.
Yeah, that's right. And so I'm looking forward to that one. And then on the 1st of November, we are going to be at the Mountbatten Centre at their Christmas market. And again, that's a really big market, probably the biggest market that we have done in the past.
Yeah.
So that will have all sorts of fantastic booths with different things.
I mean, the last time I went to their Christmas market, they had all sorts of things. As you say, I mean, there were people selling little glass ornaments.
Oh, yeah, they do all sorts.
Food and drinks.
They really put on a good market. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to that one. Also, I guess what I would like to flag up is that our monthly Speak Volumes sessions have had a change of venue.
Yeah.
So, unfortunately, our previous venue
disappeared.
Yes.
It closed down. Unfortunately,
they have closed. And so we've had to quickly try and sort out another venue. And we are going to start meeting at the South Sea Cinema in Palmerston Road starting 11th of November. And that will then meet on the second Tuesday of the month going forward.
Mm.
So I think that That will be a very good venue for us. And, you know, we're looking forward to carrying on as before.
Yeah. And being a new venue, or should you make sure you check the Facebook page to see if there's any changes?
Absolutely,
just in
yeah.
case.
That's right. Just in case those dates do change. And one of the things that we are planning to do is to use those sessions to prepare us for an event that we have planned in Bookfest. In February.
Yes, and that's fast approaching as
it
well.
Is, well,
what's
yes,
the time going?
I know. I think it'll be here before we know it. And so, yeah, what we're planning to do is to expand on the work that we've done before by giving people a few more pointers, a little bit of tuition when it comes to reading and presenting their books, because we want people to, you know, develop a professional way of talking to an audience about the books that they've written. And so Christine and Jackie and myself will be helping people to prepare for that. And then we will have a select number of people who will then be invited to read for an audience at Bookfest. So it's important that if people are interested in taking part in that reading, they really need to attend the Speak Volumes sessions.
So it's almost like an audition in a way then, audition with training.
Yes, they will get the training and then there will be a selection by their peers of who goes forward for the event in February. I think that's really exciting. I'm looking forward to that.
I'm looking forward to seeing what you come up with on that.
I think it will be really good because, you know, I think this is what we, you know, what we're aiming at is to get our work out there and noticed by an audience.
Yeah.
So, I think that will be very good.
You never know. We might even do a special on the new program I'm not supposed to tell anybody about yet.
Ooh.
Whoops, did I say that? No, I didn't say that. I'm not allowed to tell anybody what's happening in November until after we've had the 50th celebrations, you know.
Yes, that's coming up on the 18th
of October.
17th of October.
At the Gaiety.
At the Gaiety on the pier. How exciting. Yeah, I know. I'm looking forward to it.
Fast approaching. I'm getting nervous and excited.
Yeah, I think it'll be a great evening. And it's not too far from where I live. So it's just down the street. I can...
Everyone back to Laurie's after a trip coffee, is it?
So, yeah, I think that'll be a great evening as well.
Okay, so we're almost out of time. So what's coming up on next week?
Nick Morrish is back next week. And he's going to be talking to local author Alexia Daniels about her latest book.
Don't think I've met Alexia yet.
She's fantastic. You'll love her. She's previously has written a historical novel that I loved. So, I'll be looking forward to tuning in next week to hear that interview.
Great. Well, thanks ever so much for coming in, Laurie. It's been great chatting with you. And we should chat to you all again next week. So until then, keep writing.